All right. Well, as you just heard a few moments ago in our introduction, we are so pleased to be bringing in a brand new friend to the program here. And I'm not just talking about Independence Northwest, but one of their representatives, Joe Short, is with us on the line this morning. And we're here to talk about this very interesting and unique organization serving individuals with alternate abilities and disabilities. And this organization has been around for a long, long time. They recently celebrated an anniversary. They've been around since 1988, and shame on us for taking so long to catch up with them. I'm talking about Independent Northwest, which is run by people with disabilities for people with disabilities, and we're going to find all about all of the things that they can do for you if you love someone or are someone who might be able to avail yourselves of their services. Joe Short, welcome to the program.
Thank you for that great introduction. We are one of the five centers for independent living here in Connecticut, and we're divided up geographically throughout the state. There's Access Independence, which is in the Stratford,
sure,
Center for Disabilities, yep, which is in West Haven,
mm-hmm,
the Connecticut Disabilities Network of Eastern Connecticut,
mm-hmm,
or which serves all of New London and Poland and Windham County. Independence Unlimited is up in the Hartford, and Independence Northwest is the agency that I work with, and we cover 44 towns in northwestern Connecticut.
Great.
So,
let's find out a little bit about you first before we dig into explaining to people what Independence Northwest can do for them if they live in this neck of the woods. What's your background, and what brought you to be connected to this organization?
So I was paralyzed in 2002. I'm a quadriplegic, and so that kind of led me in the direction of helping individuals with disabilities. I went back to school and I got a bachelor's and then a master's degree in social work, and I worked at a couple different areas, and I happened to do an internship at Independence Northwest, and I found it was definitely my home, and where I felt most comfortable and where I felt like I was doing the most helpful for sharing both my personal and professional experience in order to connect to individuals that were in the same position that I was in when I first got hurt, where I wasn't sure where to turn. We're kind of the first point of contact for a lot of people that are searching for services, and where to go when they're first overwhelmed, or if they're been injured for years or whatever their disability is, and they're just looking for additional resources.
Hmm. Do you still get people reaching out to the organization who aren't aware before they come in the door and encounter people, representatives like yourself, that they are going to receive support and services from an individual who has great empathy for every client?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, and a lot of the people that I work with, a lot of times I'll be working with them over the phone. The other thing too is all of our, by state and federal mandate, we have to have 52% of our staff and board members have to have a disability. And, we have individuals that are blind, that are deaf, that are you name it. My executive director is a little person. There's so many different types of disabilities that we work with, and I remember one of my coworkers who was blind. He worked with people for years. They had no clue, you know, because he had worked with them over the phone. Mm. They had no clue that he was blind. He was looking up. He was doing paperwork for him, and same thing with me. I mean, they have no idea until they walk in the door that we're, you know, what our disabilities are.
Mm.
And so it is a little bit shocking for some people in that sense. They might be on the phone saying, "I have a disability. I can't work." And it's like, no, you can work. We just got to figure out a way for you to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, not to split hairs amongst varying types of alternate abilities, but does your organization not only serve folks with physical disabilities, but are you also in service to folks with neurodiverse situations?
Yes. And so we have, you know, that's our only criteria, is that you have a disability. It doesn't matter what your disability is. It could be mental health. It could be physical, you name it. It doesn't matter what your age is. Doesn't matter what your disability is.
Okay, great.
Populations.
That's fantastic. Do you know, kind of in the ballpark, approximately how many people you guys at Independence Northwest serve?
I honestly have no idea what that number is. So we have multiple programs. You know, we have our core services that, you know, promote advocacy, independent living skills training, peer mentoring, transitioning. So those are our core services. And but then we also have other programs like a veterans outreach program, a deaf services program. The Money Follows the Persons program, which transitions countless amounts of individuals out of nursing homes back into the community, sets them up with the services they need in home. So we have a lot of our transition coordinators work specifically with that program. And then we also have the HOPL program, which is housing opportunities for people with AIDS and HIV, which supports it subsidizes the rent of individuals with AIDS or HIV in our catchment area, which, you know, is a very underserved population. And this is a program that helps them. It's a temporary program. It's meant to only be for a 2-year program, just to you know, stable housing, and therefore you can start building on. You can't start anywhere until you have stable housing. And so those are some of our programs. But as far as our exact numbers on how many people we serve, especially between all five centers, I honestly
do it's not. got to be in the thousands. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe tens of thousands. That's fantastic. Joe, I'm glad you brought up Money Follows the Person and how critically important that social tool is toward catapulting people toward a more independent life. Would you mind reminding folks that are listening what that exactly is and how you have seen it make incredible positive changes in people's lives?
Oh, absolutely. So Money Follows the Persons is a Medicaid program that it provides. Once you're in a nursing home, you no longer get your Social Security disability. You're only getting $65 a month to live on. There's no way of being able to save up for an apartment or be able to furnish an apartment. So once you're in there, you're stuck. There's no way out. And so this program here is for the individuals such as myself that might have gotten paralyzed and they don't have a accessible home to go home to or anything. So they have to be stuck in a nursing home. And it's so that younger individuals don't have to live there for the rest of their life. This is so that they can get back out of the community. And what Money Follows the Person does is it provides them with a rental assistance program, the RAP program, if they need it for financial security, it's so that they don't pay more than 30% of their income towards an apartment. They have transition coordinators and housing coordinators that help find accessible apartments or make apartments accessible. Or if you need home modifications to be able to go back to your own home, that could be something that could be done as well. So there's a lot of program, a lot of services. And then once you're in, back out into the community, Money Follows the Person. It also provides in-home care with personal care assistance, so that you could receive that minimal assistance that you need in order to live independently without having to be stuck in a nursing home.
Very good. Tell me a little bit about a memory you have of meeting someone and helping navigate them into this system with inspiring results.
Okay, all right. That was trying to think of a good one. I've seen so many of them. You're putting me on the spot.
Okay. It's actually incredible to hear that there are so many that it's hard to even pin down one story. But, if you think across the body of people who you know today, who you knew maybe, much earlier in your career at Independence Northwest, without getting into too many specifics so the person could be identified, can you talk about where they were when you met them and where they are today?
Well, one that I was thinking about right now was an individual who had been in a nursing home for, I think it was close to like 8 or 9 years, and they ended up finally transitioning out, and being back in the community and being, part of society again, rather than being locked in a nursing home and just, not having any promise. And, this individual, they went back to school, and they were going for social work as well. And so it gave them that opportunity in their life, kind of a light at the end of the tunnel, rather than, okay, this is it. You're not going any further than being in a nursing home.
That's great.
So that individual, they had been in that nursing home for far too long.
Yeah. One of the other programs, to the extent that you're able to talk about it, I think important to promote is the Youth Transition Initiative, because so often we hear from our guests on this program, and as I'm out in the world interacting with folks in your line of work and organizations like yours, is that so many adults are sort of stigmatized because they didn't get the kind of services and confidence building that they might have been able to benefit from when they were younger, kind of learning to live within their own skin with whatever alternate ability they might have. What is your proximity to, and what could you tell us about the Youth Transition Initiative?
So Youth Transition Program is, the Transition Program for Youth is, we work with a bunch of the high schools, and, we also work with the Bureau of Rehabilitation Services.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where a lot of our referrals come from for youth transition. And it's also individuals that, they might have already transitioned from high school, and They're in the community for a couple of years, and they're wondering, you know, which direction do we go? And a lot of it is, a lot of those individuals are autistic, and that's the primary group that I'm that I've worked with. And but it's not specific. And but the other program, we actually just started. We just hired a another individual to help with the youth transition. And but we help them with self-advocacy and workplace readiness skills. And then we also, you know, if they need to enroll with EDS or DSS or get onto Medicaid or Social Security, or just, you know, learning to navigate the world, because when they're in high school, pretty much all the services are provided for them. And once they graduate, they're learning that, you know, they have to advocate for themselves. So teaching them to advocate for themselves, knowing where to go, is a big component. And then also, you know, learning about their disability, what their limitations are, what their strengths are, and what best suits them.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, we've got a couple minutes left, Joe Short. Thank you so much for taking the time. Folks, if you'd like to learn more about this organization, it's called Independence Northwest. You go to them at independencenorthwest.org. They also have many resources at that website to connect, including video, phone, accessibility, and other ways to get to know them. They've got a YouTube channel. Have loads of resources. We barely scratched the surface of that laundry list of various supports that Joe mentioned at the beginning of the show. But Joe, I want to leave this conversation today, hopefully providing some folks an opportunity to come and volunteer with you guys. Just give us a minute or so about how valuable your volunteers are.
Well, honestly, we don't have as many volunteers now. Ever since COVID, we do have a small office, so we do kind of a staggered approach on a hybrid schedule, so that we're not all in the office at the same time. Mm-hmm. But we are always looking for volunteers for individuals who want to do some grocery shopping for people that are transitioning out of nursing homes, or volunteers that need to help set up a new home for someone. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of opportunities as far as that goes, and with the climate that we're in right now, where food is becoming scarce, and we don't know about the future of EBT cards being cut or anything like that.
Right.
We're always looking for people to not just volunteer with us, but volunteer and give back as much as they can to any community program.
Yeah. Well, Independence Northwest makes it really easy. If you just go to independencenorthwest.org and point your eyes toward the upper right-hand corner and just hit that donate button, you can donate to this organization and target support to one of the many varying programs and resources that they provide. Or, as Joe mentioned, just show up and consider volunteering for them. They'll put you to good work for good people who are working through their own alternate abilities to be independent and productive members in dozens of communities across our radio region. So, Joe Short, so great to make your acquaintance, and so glad we finally brought Independence Northwest into our For the People family of partners. I look forward to talking to you again. And once again, folks, if you want to donate or volunteer or learn more on behalf of someone you may know or love with a disability, just go to independencenorthwest.org. Joe, great to meet you. Thank you again.